It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In 2011, the first of the baby boomer generation reached the retirement age of 65. This post-World War II generation has changed our view of getting older. Among this group is Dr. Bill Thomas, an internationally recognized expert on elderhood and geriatric medicine. He is also the founder of the Eden Alternative and Greenhouse Project. Dr. Bill Thomas, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
According to census data, 8 of the top 11 states with the oldest population are in the Northeast. So what needs to be done to make them more, quote-unquote, age-friendly?
Well, I think the first thing we can do is leave behind some of the historic bias and prejudice against older people. We've been taught to think that having a very old population is a bad thing. Actually, there are a lot of reasons to think it might be a very good thing.
Is that more of an American perception that
yes,
old
I
is
do
bad?
Think so. You know, you see a lot less of that in other countries. The lionization of youth, the worship of youth. I think America leads the pack on that.
And is it kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy because this generation that's now turning 65 is the one that coined the phrase, don't trust anybody over 30?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so funny because this generation hasn't seen 30 in a long time.
Right.
So one thing you can say about the baby boom generation is that at every stage of the life cycle, their size, the size of the generation, has had a really transformative impact on that part of the life cycle. So I'm actually kind of excited to see the aging of the boomers because I think it's going to force changes in some of the antiquated approaches to age and aging that we see in America.
And part of that change of perception, does it have something to do with this idea that when you hear people say 50 is the new 30, 65, is that the new something else?
No, actually, here's the news flash for the station. Here we go. 50 is the new 50. That's the key. What we really need is an opportunity for people to simply be the age they are and to inhabit it and to enjoy it and to take what's good from it. And this kind of 50 is the new 30, 60 is the new 40, that's not helpful to people.
Why not?
Well, because it's based on an illusion and a fact that is simply not true. People who are 60 years of age really should act differently and live differently than people who are 40. And I'll give you a proof point for this. If you have a 40-year-old who acts like a 20-year-old, you don't say, oh, isn't that great? My son-in-law is 40, but he acts like a 20-year-old. Nobody would say that that would be a good thing. But when we get into this 40, 50, 60 thing, human beings are somehow supposed to not change. You're supposed to sort of be 40 for 30 years or something. That's false. That's not aligned with our biology or our psychology or the evolution of our life experience. So we really want to live in a society that lets us be who we are at our age.
But is the definition changing, and is it being changed by the people who are turning these ages? People who are turning 65 today, I'm guessing you have observed that they don't necessarily act the way a 65-year-old mm-hmm. would have, say, 40 years ago.
Yeah, that's a cultural thing too. We're really blessed with an older population that's a lot healthier than used to be the case. In fact, one of the things I was saying at the beginning of the segment is that old age is increasingly a blessing to communities because older people are more prepared than ever to contribute to the communities that they're part of. And I'll say one thing quickly about that. You talk about the cost of care and caregiving for older people. You know who does most of the care and caregiving for older people?
Who?
Older people. Most of it is family caregiving done in the context of home and family, and they're amazing. They do an amazing amount to support the well-being of older people.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Bill Thomas, Dr. Bill Thomas, an internationally recognized expert on elderhood and geriatric medicine. Tell us about the Greenhouses for Elders program taking place here in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, I've spent the last decade or so asking myself a question. What would it be like to have a community that had no nursing homes, that didn't need them anymore because they had 21st century models of care and support? And so the greenhouse is a way of providing support and care for older people who would otherwise be living in a nursing home, but to do it in a home, in a house, in a household, in a community, not in an institution. So we're really interested in helping Pittsburgh become a community where people have choices and where nobody is forced to enter a nursing home against their will.
So how does that work?
Well, here's an interesting thing. You don't think about it a lot if it's not part of your daily life. But in American society, there's competition everywhere. You know, your computer, your car, you know, everybody wants to give you the best deal and have the best quality service.
Right.
Hotels, restaurants. There's one part of our society that hasn't had any competition, and that's long-term care. There's no competition between the standard model, which was actually developed in the 19th century of the classic nursing home, and the new model. Where is the new version of this kind of care that's actually adapted to the 21st century? And actually, the answer is the greenhouse model provides for older people whose needs would otherwise put them in a nursing home, but instead of living in a nursing home, they get to live in a shared household in a community.
With whom?
With up to 10 other elders who are similarly situated, and they share a big kitchen and a big wooden dining room table. Everybody has their own room.
Are you picking the people that you live with, or how does the arrangement come about?
No, we really focus on creating a sense of community in the house for the people who are living there. So it's sort of if you think about people who've had experience in college – the people on your floor freshman year when you were in a dorm, you showed up, you didn't know them, and by the end of the year, you're like, oh, man, where are you going? I'm going to miss you this summer. So we really focus on that idea.
I'm just trying to imagine these people in the greenhouse sharing those same experiences.
Oh, yes. True.
Do they?
Yeah, without the beer pong. We don't do the beer pong. But
okay, that's good.
Other than that, it turns out that human beings are really hungry for community and connection and friendship. And when you create an environment where those things are encouraged, they flourish.
Interesting. And so here in Pittsburgh, greenhouses, they wouldn't necessarily be just for the elderly.
Right.
Who else in our communities is going to benefit from this?
Look, you know, there are in our society a lot of people who have really no trouble living independently in their own apartment or house. Lots of people are like that. And there are people, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, some of whom who have trouble living independently in the community. The greenhouse is a way of kind of bridging that, allowing people the honor and the privilege and the respect that comes from living in the community, but supporting them in a household that's really designed to meet their unique needs. So people, living with multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, traumatic brain injury, lots of different things that might affect your ability to live independently, the greenhouse is perfectly suited.
You, as an analogy, mentioned earlier that it would be similar to the experience of a first-year college student just entering the dorm for the first time. But
but
they're coming from an experience that's, you know, certainly somewhat different. You've been living with your parents, and now you're on your own for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who is older, they've been living a certain way for a number of years, perhaps just themselves and their wives or you know, a wife with a husband, and you know, one or the other of them passes away.
Right.
And so now you're on your own again, and you're, after decades maybe, trying to assimilate into a place where there are other people.
Yep.
Is there a challenge to that dynamic?
Oh, I think there is. And the kind of the saving grace of it really is that one thing we know about aging – there's a lot of things we don't know. One thing we know, aging is a team sport. And the people who do the best, who are the best at aging, are the people who are connected to others. People who try to experience old age alone, cut off, isolated in a house or apartment by themselves, they actually miss the best part of it. And they have more trouble with their memory and their health and their feeling of well-being.
So the social interaction it helps the mind?
Wow. And the mind and the body. Social interaction, I think, of course, is important at every part of the human experience. But I think it's even more important in old age. And I, you know, to make a point about this, I would say to you that if you would note that the worst punishment currently allowed for in American society is solitary confinement. People, when we want to do the worst to somebody who has offended a law or committed a crime, they get solitary confinement. And yet many elders confine themselves away from community and family and friends.
And why does that happen?
Well, because we have this mythology in America that says the only really good old person is an old person who's able to be independent, doesn't need any help, doesn't need to be relying on others. So a lot of older people actually withdraw from society rather than display the fact that they do need help with certain things. They become too embarrassed by the changes in their health status and so on to go out into the community. And then, of course, they become isolated, and then social isolation leads to pretty bad consequences.
So how does the staffing in a greenhouse home compare to a traditional nursing home?
Well, the first and most important thing is that the people who work in the greenhouse are dedicated. They have one job, dedicated. Help the elders have a good day. That's the job. In the conventional nursing home, people have a job, you know, mop the floor. They have a job, prepare the toast for breakfast, you know, whatever that job is. In the greenhouse, the people who work there take care of all these different things, and they put it all together, the food, the bathing, the assistance with dress, the celebrations, the experiences, the conversation, the storytelling. All of that is one job, and that person is there to support the well-being of the elders living in that house.
It's a fascinating concept. Can you tell us about any other innovations being made to help older populations?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you one I'm very excited about. I've been doing a lot of work in recent years helping hospital emergency departments take better care of older people. A lot of people listening to this program will have stories in their own memory of an older relative going to an ER, and it really not being a good experience. So we've been helping hospitals around the country adapt their emergency departments to have a senior component. Like they used to, they'll have a pediatric ER, we have a senior ER. And it turns out it works really well. We change the staffing and the training and the equipment so that elders get a really good experience in the ER.
And can you explain the Eden alternative, Dr. Thomas?
You know, we created the Eden Alternative about 20 years ago specifically designed to reform existing nursing homes. So America has right now about 15,000 nursing homes, and a lot of them are going to be with us for a long time. So the Eden Alternative is designed to improve the well-being of the elders and the staff inside of an existing nursing home by changing the way people think and helping the elders and the people who work there see the nursing home more as a garden that grows people than as an institution.
Dr. Bill Thomas is an internationally recognized expert on elderhood and geriatric medicine. He's also the founder of the Eden Alternative and Greenhouse Project. Bill, good talking with you. Thanks for joining us.
Paul, I enjoyed myself. Thank you.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESN.